The Treasury Salute, featuring Eugene O'Neill, Jr. in a specially transcribed drama, A Column of Names. And now, the Treasury Salute, a column of names.
Each evening, your newspaper published the casualty lists. January 10th, 1945 was no exception. Sitting in the quiet of your home, you quickly turned the page that contained the long column of fine type. You reflected briefly that war was an ugly thing, better to be forgotten. The obscurity of the fine print found no resistance, and the column of names was lost in the shuffle of a page. But in other homes, resting in the evening quiet, this same column of names was to bring the sharp, sudden pain of news that a man who was loved had been killed or wounded. Let us take a name from this list and look more closely at a man who still lives. Run your finger down the column of names and let it stop on the name of a man who is of the mold of America, whose childhood filled a house with laughter, who went to school and used the slide rule in measurement of the future, who dreamed of a secure and productive life, who fell in love, and who went to war. Sergeant Jack O'Leary, Infantry.
Wow, if I never see snow again as long as I live, it'll be too soon. I never should have left Florida, O'Leary.
Why don't you throw snowballs, Jankowski? Take your mind off things, huh?
I would. But the Nazis don't fight fair. They're using guns.
Yeah, boy, we sure had plenty of snow up in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I know. But you didn't have to fight for your life in a foot and a half of the stuff.
Ooh.
Hey, what day is this anyway?
I think it's January 10th. Hey, listen to that, Harry. They stopped shooting.
Yeah. Maybe they run out of ammunition, huh? Come on, relax, O'Leary. This is the Ardennes Forest. Nothing will happen here. Cherries are running the other way.
I don't like it. It's too still.
Yeah. Admit it is sort of quiet.
Holy mackerel, they're laying a barrage down for an attack. Get back to the command post. Get back!
O'Leary! O'Leary! He's been hit. Medics! Medics! Medics!
Get this guy out of here quick. He's bleeding like a sieve.
All right, men. Evacuate to second aid station.
Eight shrapnel wounds, nurse. One piece passed completely through his right chest. We can't possibly operate here.
His record shows immediate loss of consciousness.
Evacuate to third echelon aid station.
He's regaining consciousness, sir, but he's delirious.
The enemy is breaking through, Corporal. We'll have to get a move to the rear to avoid capture.
How do you feel, Sergeant?
Not so good, sir. I'm just getting used to being awake again.
I might as well be frank with you, O'Leary. You've got a long way to go yet. We've done as much surgery here as possible on your wounds, but this is only an evacuation hospital. We've got to move you to Paris and operate further.
How bad did I get it, sir?
They did everything but kill you, Sergeant. The fact that you're still alive is nothing short of a miracle.
Sergeant O'Leary has been taken away from his gun. 34 days later, he is on a hospital ship struggling its way through an English channel torn by winter storm. After more treatment on this allied soil, he will fly back to the States. The Army has begun to repair the chaotic ruin left upon a man by the single burst of a mortar shell.
Sergeant! flying over the ocean. Boy, that's one for the books.
Hey, take it easy, Mike. You'll fall out of your letter.
You know, I think this Air Corps business has it all over the ground forces. This is really living.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the infantry, Mike.
Yeah, you're darn right. The foot sluggers are the cream of the army.
You said it, fella. Yeah, you're both mud happy. Without the tanks, where would you hitchhikers be?
Why, you armored cowboy, all those sardine wagons do is just block traffic.
Hey, fellas, listen. I've got wonderful news. Put today, May 8th, down in your history books. The Nazis have surrendered.
What?
V-Day.
V? Gee, I guess the outfit will be okay now, huh?
Too bad we can't put a V in front of the Japs.
Well, maybe you will soon, Corporal.
Cheer up, fellas. We'll be landing in time to watch the celebration.
The name in the casualty list makes interesting reading now. What else of this man O'Leary? What do the doctors say in Walter Reed? On May 9th, the following notation is entered in the dossier on his case. The patient has contracted empyema.
The condition wherein a poisonous fluid has collected between the walls of his chest and lungs. Therapy will consist of insertion of tube in patient's back to drain the fluid and permit healing of wounds internally. Estimated prognosis to clear up this condition, 7 months. Scapula fractured and left arm and shoulder paralyzed. Recommend physiotherapy. Daily breathing exercise ordered to restore collapsed right lung.
That's right, Sergeant. Flex your arm again. Try, Sergeant. Flex your arm again. Try.
It's much better, Sergeant. The condition's clearing up. Just a few more months of the tube, that's all.
The examination shows the lung is slowly being restored, Sergeant. These exercises are doing the trick.
O'Leary, I tell you, as a citizen of Florida and the sunny tropics, it never struck in my mind that I, Harry Jankowski, would ever be glad to see a guy who comes from the frozen north of Massachusetts.
Oh, boy, it's well seeing you again, Harry. How'd you know I was in Walter Reed?
Well, I tell you, it goes something like this. I was on a 3-day pass in search of romance and beer, you know, and I sort of figured, well, a call here wouldn't do any harm. The PFC at the front desk told me you were registered.
Well, it's not exactly a hotel, Harry.
No. How you doing, Jack? Are they taking care of you?
Oh, it's okay, Harry. I'm getting along, I guess. Lying in bed all the time sort of gets me down. But from what they tell me, I'm lucky to be alive.
You ain't kidding. Well, Leary, when that mortar shell climbed all over you in the Ardennes, I thought that was it.
Maybe I should look where I was going, huh?
Don't worry, pal. I took it out on a couple of Jerry's for you.
Sorry, Corporal. You'll have to go now.
Oh, this place is as bad as basic training in Fort Sheridan, Harry. Every hour on the hour, something new.
Yeah, I tell you what. You know what? After you get out of here in a few months, you can come to visit my place in Florida.
Well, maybe, Harry, but I think I'll be heading back to Lynn. Winter sports are great up home.
Wait a minute. You mean skiing and that stuff?
Yeah, that's right.
Say, nurse. You better keep this guy here. If he goes home, he's liable to break a leg.
Of course, old Larry, you want something to do. That's an integral part of your adjustment back to complete health and civilian life. You know what I think?
Sir, I'd sure like to be busy for a change.
Well, that's what I thought. I know of several things you can do. Tomorrow night, you're going to be a radio announcer.
That concludes the Walter Reed Radio Newsreel. The time is now 11 o'clock. The next program, which is to be presented, is a musical half hour made up of request numbers submitted by the men in Ward 23. The Walter Reed Ramblers will supply the scratching and moaning. All right, boys, jump off with Honeysuckle Rose.
Hey, fellas, did you hear O'Leary? He's a regular Harry Bonzel.
Now the sergeant realizes the day is approaching when he will be released from the hospital, when he can go home again. Questions cascade in his mind. What will he do? How will he act? What will people say to him? Where was his future? Once again, the sergeant is restless. He walks slowly through the long subterranean halls that run beneath the sprawling buildings of Walter Reed. From a room in a side corridor, there comes the sound of typing. The sergeant walks in.
Hi, soldier. Oh, you come in to do a little work?
Oh, no, thanks. I just happened to look in, that's all.
Oh, you can stay if you like. I'm through with this letter. So are you a soldier? Sit down and write yourself a letter.
The sergeant stands, looking at the typewriters. His right hand begins to feel the keys, a hand that for months had been imprisoned in paralysis. This hand, now free to move, begins to form words upon the empty paper, words that this man has felt, but which have remained silent.
Our only plea. When days were dark, the war Grimm's fate was knocking at our nation's gate. You called on us in direst need to kill the fertile fascist breed. We bore our shells, our guns, and planes through winter snows and tropic rains. We struggled through the slime, the mud, and in the islands left our blood. The war is won. The peace is signed. We have the axis well aligned. Yet crosses stand on hallowed ground for our comrades' bugles sound. Forget us not with empty sleeves and broken health that battle leaves. We ask not pity, but your aid to find the right for which we paid.
You can turn the page again now and hide the casualty list from view, for this ends the story of just one line from that column of names. And when you read your paper these coming evenings, look for an item of the dateline Lynn, Massachusetts. It won't be a long story to read, just another inch of type more than that used in the column of names. It will no doubt say, Sergeant Jack O'Leary is home again.
Perhaps the only certainty in life is that every day that passes, each one of us gets older. Sooner or later, for each of us, the time is coming when we can no longer work. And we'd better think of that now. When we put our money in U.S. government bonds, we're helping to insure our old age. These bonds are the safest investment in the whole world. They pay $4 for every $3 invested, and they're guaranteed by the government of the United States. In fact, U.S. savings bonds represent a share in America, and nothing could be safer or more productive than that. So keep on buying savings bonds regularly every day. Keep on the payroll savings plan or make up your own regular savings plan. Get yourself a bigger and bigger share in America. You'll never be sorry you did. The United States Treasury thanks Eugene O'Neill, Jr., Stephen Hill, and the other distinguished artists who appeared on this specially transcribed program. The Treasury Salute was written by Alvin Boritz and directed by Mark Goodson. The music was under the direction of Mark Warno. This is Ed Darlington speaking. Remember, buy United States savings bonds and hold them. They're an investment in the future, your country's future, and your future.